What would you say if, after 120 years, you find yourself in the next world and they give you another opportunity to come back to this world to do more mitzvot and to get more infinity? Even though you've been an amazing, incredible person throughout the whole of your existence, they give you another opportunity, b'chavod. Well, Rav Nachman, in the Gemara, he experienced passing away, and he said it's like a hair being taken from milk. And of course, all the mitzvot, every time that we do a mitzvah, it's the ability to gain more and more infinity. B'chavod, would you like to come back? Of course he'd like to come back. The only reason why he wouldn't like to come back is because he was mefached, he was worried about the Malach HaMavet. He says, when the Malach HaMavet, lo aleinu, when that angel of death came towards him, it's malei einayim, full of eyes, etc. It's so much pachad, so much fear, he wouldn't want to come back to the world just because of that. So it got me thinking. It got me thinking. We're in this world, and we've got to go through a lot of different tests in our life. And when we look at the Torah, there is one occurrence where the Malach HaMavet, the Samach Mem it's called, came and attacked a human being. Now, we look at the Avot, Abraham was not attacked by a Malach. Yitzchak was not attacked by a Malach. Yaakov was attacked by an angel. And when we look into it and we see which angel it was, our rabbis tell us this was the none other than the Samach Mem. And the famous question is asked, why was Yaakov targeted? Why wasn't Abraham targeted? Why wasn't Yitzchak targeted? Why Dafka Yaakov? What's so special about Yaakov? And the rabbis explain, Yaakov, Abraham represents chesed, kindness. Yitzchak represents gevurah, which is might. And Yaakov represents Torah. Torah. The Yetzer Hara can go with you doing chesed. He'll put a little bit, he'll try and make you fool, but not so much. With your prayer, he'll make you fool, but not so much. When it comes to learning Torah, I don't have time. I've got the business, Torah, and I've got to be in this place. I've got to be in that place. The morning, run with the kids. The evening, I'm knackered. Who's got time? So Torah is where the Yetzer Hara knows that's where the money is. And that's where the Yetzer Hara comes to attack. But there's something very deep about this attack that happened with Yaakov. And there's something I want to share with you. Bezal Hashem, we come out of this with a bit of an understanding about our own selves. We are called Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael Chai, we say. Am Yisrael Chai, Am Yisrael Chai. What does it mean, Am Yisrael Chai? Why are we called Am Yisrael? We could be Am Avraham, Am Yitzchak, Am Yaakov, Am Yisrael. Why not Am Avraham? Because Avraham had two children. He had a Yitzchak and he had Ishmael. Why not Am Yitzchak? Because Yitzchak had two children. He had a Yaakov and he had an Esav. So we called Am Yisrael, but why are we called Am Yisrael and not Am Yaakov? Where does this name Yisrael come from? So the name Yisrael comes from this week when we learn in the parasha of Yishlach. With this incredible attack by the angel, what happened is Yaakov, he left these pachim ketanim, these small jars on the other side of the river, and he goes in the middle of the night to retrieve them. And as he's going in the middle of the night, there is a small pasuk, Vayikachem, Vayavirem et hanachal, Vayavor et ashelo. He passed over, Vayivate Yaakov levato. He's by himself, Vayayavek ish imo. The Torah calls the angel that fought with him an ish. Ish is something chashuv, is something important. And the angel wrestles with him, and it uses the word Vayayavek. Avek comes from the word avak. Avak is dust. And our rabbis tell us the dust went all the way up to the Kiseh HaKavod. Why? Because dust, what does dust do when it comes into your eyes? It blinds a person. A person can't see properly. The aim of the angel was, I don't want you to have clear vision. I don't want you to have clarity in life. I don't want you to see what's going on, especially the Torah. What does the Torah do? The Torah is called Torah, Hora'ah. It gives guidance, but Ora'ah, it gives light. Come up to Hanukkah, and it's a dark time, and you light the lights. It brings light. The Torah, the menorah actually in the Mishkan represented the Torah. Torah Shebal Peh, it brings light. The Yetzer Hara doesn't want you to have that light, so it wrestles. Vayayavik. Ishimo ad alot hashachar, until dawn, where there is natural light coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov wrestles with this angel. Vayaki lo yachol lo, he saw that he couldn't. Vayiga bekaf yerecho. So what did the angel do? He struck the socket of his hip. Until this day, his hip was dislocated. And then Yaakov still had a grip on him. And the angel said, let me go, because it's now time for me to go and sing praises to God. And the angel was basically saying, you beat me. You beat me, I'm out. And I now need to go and tell God, wow, you have beaten me, this guy, I'm going to sing praises. So Yaakov took advantage of the situation. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. So the angel said, what's your name? He said, my name is Yaakov. Interesting, you ask somebody for a blessing. They say, what's your name? Halachically, if you want to get a blessing and you're standing in front of the rabbi, you don't need to give your name. You're there. What does the rabbi need your name for? He says, Yevarech Echa Hashem. We have Birka Kohanim. It says, Yevarech Eto Shaloma Ben Jack, whatever. It doesn't say such a thing. Yevarech Echa Hashem should give you a blessing. What's my name? You only need a name when the guy's not there. Yaakov is asking him for a blessing, and the angel says, what's your name? Not because he needs to know his name to give him a blessing, because he's about to change his name. And why is he going to change his name? Because the name is the essence. And when you have a name change, it changes your essence. That's why when somebody is lo aleinu ill, what is the halacha? You go to a big rabbi and you give him an addition to the name, Chaim, give him life. Many of our big rabbis have added the name Chaim. Rabbi Yosef Chaim, heard of him? From Baghdad. Where does it come from, the Ben Ishchai, Chaim? When he was little already, he fell down. Maybe that's where he came from. Maybe it came from the name. Maybe it was his name. I look at the beginning of the book. On the Ben Ishchai, he writes about the occurrence over there. So Rabotai, the name gets changed. Let me go, for dawn has broken. And he said, I'm not going to let you go. He said, what's your name? Give me a bracha. He said, what's your name? He said, my name is Yaakov. So he said, no longer will your name be Yaakov, but Israel, Yisrael. Hear it all the time on the news. Now you get it from the Torah. This is the first time it's mentioned. Yisrael. Why? Kisarita. Why? You have striven with the divine and with man and have overcome. Vatuchal. This was an incredible occurrence. And by the way, he doesn't yet change his name until later. The angel is only telling him what's going to be in the future. And later on, God Almighty changes his name to Yisrael. And the question is as follows. The Gemara says, if you want to speak about Avraham nowadays, and you call him Avram, are you okay with that? His original name was Avram. God added a hey to his name. He called him Avraham. Because he said, you were Av Goyim, Av Aram. Now you're Av Hamon Goyim. Now you're the father of many nations. So I'm adding a hey, and hey is God's name. And now you've got this Avraham. If you call somebody Avram when their name is Avraham, with his new name, then you're sinning. You're not allowed to say about Avram Avinu. You can't say Avram Avinu. He's now Avraham Avinu. But when it comes to Yaakov, to say Yaakov, even though God has changed his name to Yisrael, you're allowed to. Makara.
One was God, one was another.
No, both is God. That's what we just said. Avraham gets changed by God. Yaakov gets told by the angel, you will be having a name change. And this is the reason. No, it hasn't happened. This is the reason. So what is going on that Yaakov, we can still say Yaakov, but we can't say Avram. In order to understand this, we need to understand a little bit about Yaakov. We need to understand about our own lives. You know, when you go and you speak to young children and you want them to have confidence in life, and you want to give them the energy. And you try and explain to a young child, you're going to be tested. Okay, you need to do your bed in the morning, right? Why do I need to do my bed in the morning? Because you can't live like this for the rest of your life. You need to eat healthy. Why do I need to eat healthy? I like the chips, I like the steaks, I like the sausages. The sausage is all processed food. No, you need to do it. Why? Because it's not good when you get 20, 30 years later, then you'll feel it. It's very difficult. Because children have got daily tests and their minds are much shorter. They don't really see what an adult can see. The Torah has got advice from God Almighty that sees everything. And we're His children. And sometimes we don't always see, and we get tested daily. And how do we deal with this test? We deal with the test by looking at our Avot. Yaakov is called Yaakov originally. Why was he called Yaakov? Because he held on to the heel of Esav. When they were in the womb, his brother, they were twins, they were trying to come out. His brother bashed him, he kicked him away. He said, I'm coming out first. And he kicked into the side, and Yaakov held on to the heel of Esav. So Esav came out first, and Yaakov came out second, and so he's called Yaakov. Akev means the heel. What does it mean, though? Why did his parents call him Yaakov? That's what you're going to call a child. Oh, let's call him heel, because he came out and he was holding on to the heel. Is that what Yitzchak Avinu, the great Yitzchak and Rivka, really wanted to call their child after a heel? There's something deeper here. Yaakov represents struggle. It represents, I'm being kicked, I'm being shoved by Esav, by my own brother, but I'm not giving up. I'm going to continue. I'm going to hold on. And so he holds on. And many years later, when Esav is coming in and he wants and he's hungry, Yaakov, what does he do? He offers him the food, but he says, if you want the food, let's do a deal. His mind is on the Bechorah. His mind is on the spirituality. He's going to fight for it. And many years later, he has to come in to get the blessing from Yitzchak. And he has to run away. And then he gets done on over because he's supposed to marry Rachel. But he ends up marrying Leah. And then he has to work another 7 years. And then he doesn't have money. And then he needs to work another 6 years. And then he comes back. And then he goes one problem, Dina. And then Yosef. Problem after problem. But Yaakov is a fighter. But his fight gets a new level. When does his fight get a new level? When he fights the angel. This Samach Mem, this full of eyes that only cares about bringing him down. And when is that? That is the night before he's about to meet Esav. After these 22 years that he's been away. 20 to 22 years that he's been away. And he's coming back and Esav is coming to greet him with 400 men to destroy him. And the Torah tells us he was frightened. And our rabbis ask a question. Why is Yaakov frightened? Didn't God already promise him, Shmarticha, I'm going to guard you. Many years earlier, when he had the dream with the ladder, God said to him, I'm going to guard you. And guess what? Many years later, when he was told by God, leave Lavan's house, and I'm going to guard you. Again, he said, I'm going to guard you. You're going to go back to the land of Israel. I'll be with you. I will be with you. So why does the Pasuk say that Vayitze lo Yaakov became frightened? Who cares about merit? Yaakov's the biggest tzaddik in the planet. He's been fighting. And God has told him, I'm there. You can't get better than that. I'll be with you. More than that, we find fright by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Boel Paro, come to Paro. Why is he told, come to Paro? You might be frightened to come. I'm there. Don't worry. I'll be there. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was told to take his family and go back to Egypt, they came to a malon, they came to an inn, and there the Malach HaMaveh wanted to kill him because he hadn't circumcised his two sons. He hadn't circumcised them. Until Tzipporah, his wife, quickly went and she did the circumcision. What's going on? Moshe Rabbeinu is such a big tzaddik and he's getting attacked. Why is Yaakov frightened? Avraham Avinu was frightened. Yaakov is frightened. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, before he passed away, was frightened. He said, "Where I don't know where I'm going to be taken." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the greatest sages in the planet. He knew how to do Tehiyat HaMetim. He's frightened. What's with all this Jewish fright? What's with all this Jewish fear? Why are we always frightened? A person should know, Ein Adam Ba'aretz Asher Yecheta V'lo Asher Yaseto V'lo Yecheta. There's no such thing as a person in this world that hasn't sinned. There was only a few people that went into Gan Eden alive. They went into Gan Eden alive, meaning without any sin. And it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu Zechuyog were much more. They were higher. He had greater credit. But the problem was he also had a little bit of a debit. He went once or twice into debit. Only a few people, depending on the Chazal, 3, 6, whatever, went into Gan Eden alive without sin. They didn't sin. And we have to understand that sin can cause problems. Even if a person has been told by God Almighty, don't worry, you can go, a person has to understand that I still have to fight. I'm not going to rely only on what God Almighty said, because I might have some sin that's going to cause, even a tiny sin. Maybe at that moment, God will recall the sin and give judgment. So he goes out the previous night, and he goes to the plan, and he gets attacked. And he tells the Malach, you better bless me, because I beat you over here. And the Malach says, okay, I'll bless you. What's your name? He says, Yaakov. He says, your name's going to be Yisrael. What should he have said? He said, your name's going to be Vatuchal. What's Vatuchal? You beat me. You're a champ. Your name is champ. Right? You have it. You're champion. He said, no. He said, your name's going to be called after the fight. Kisarita imelekim Vatuchal. You fought. If you fight and you struggle and you believe in yourself, then you're going to win. That's the name Yisrael. That is the name Yisrael. That's where it comes from. It's not we're champions. We are Yisrael. Kisarita. We fought. We strugglers. We went from struggling, Yaakov, to fighting, Yisrael. We went up a level. That is who we are. You know, there's a joke about a guy whose wife was having hearing problems. So he went to the doctor and he said, doctor, listen, wife's got hearing problems, but there's a lot of technology nowadays on, you know, making it better. Can you help me out? So the doctor said, listen, I need to know exactly how far she is. You know, how far is her hearing? What's she not hearing? So he said, okay. So he said, this is a test. Go. Start from the outside. Hi, darling. How are you? What's for dinner today? See what she responds. If she responds outside the house, then you know. So he goes, okay. Try that. So he went, he tried that, and then try stage two, get closer and closer. Screams from outside, darling, I'm home. Opens the door, darling, I'm home. What's for dinner? No response. Says, okay. Enter the dining room. Darling, I'm home. What's for dinner? No response. He comes into the kitchen. She's standing there. Didn't realize it was so bad. He goes, darling, I'm home. What's for dinner? She goes, chicken and mashed potatoes. I told you 3 times already. What's the problem? The problem is, we're always thinking everybody else has got the problem. It's they're the issue. Because of this, because of that. I couldn't do this because of this one, that one. But we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at ourselves. There was a guy who was, his whole life, he never ate before tefillah, before he prayed. Never ate. We're not supposed to be eating before we pray. First, we're supposed to pray and then you eat. So his whole life. Came to one Shabbat. There was a delicious cake in the fridge. Ah, his wife bought a delicious cake. He looks at the fridge. Oh, he suddenly had a big Yetzer Hara. He starts to make cheshbonot. Maybe now I can have this cake. It's got eggs in it and eggs are good for my voice. And then I can speak and I'll have extra energy to pray. And for whatever reason, he fell. Yalla, he started eating. Of course, he blessed. Yeah, he ate. The next day, he came to his chavruta in the morning. And his chavruta said, did you hear? The stipler passed away. He said, when did stipler pass? Yeah, Shabbat. He said, oh, you see? The stipler was such a kadosh. Because he was so holy, he was protecting me all this time with his kedusha that I was able to withstand the test. And yesterday, The stipler passed away, so obviously I wasn't able to. And his chavruta said, you fool. You weren't able to because of yourself. Don't blame somebody else. You need to look at yourself. All this time you had, you fought. Kisarita, we Yisrael, we got to keep on fighting. We don't give up because we get tested. We learned that from our avot. That's where we get it from. There was a guy whose car got stolen. And in Israel, he was very upset. They looked on the cameras, they saw this. The guy came in from the, it looked like his, he drove it off in the direction of the West Bank. And you know, over there, they say there's no real barriers. They went in and that's it. And what they do over there, they go and they sell it off, sell the parts. Happens very often. So the guy was very upset and very distraught. Went to his rabbi. What do I do? Called the police first. The police were aware, we can't do anything. Went to the rabbi. And the rabbi said, Cheshbon Nefesh. So he said, okay, you know what? I had in my car tefillin. I haven't really been putting them on properly. I've been late to tefillah. I'm a kabel on myself. Be'ezat Hashem, if I find the car, I will go to the minyan and I'll try and be on time with my tefillin every single day. It was mekabel. Tov. After he had this kabbalah, he had an idea. His friend told him, why don't you know these guys, they try and sell the cars. Put out an advert that you're looking for this kind of car. This is the car that you want. These alloys, these wheels, this whatever car it was, the make, few years, etc. There's certain mileage. Put it out there. He put it out there. And then within a few hours, he got a call. I have this car. I'll send you pictures. I'm actually in the area. I'm taking the car for a car wash. You can meet me over there. He met the guy at the car wash with the police and he got his car back. He said, I was hoping on the police, on this one, on that one. The minute I did my own cheshbon nefesh, I took care of myself, I realized things are happening, I struggled with myself to fight for something, that's when I got the Yeshua. Not when I blamed this one. I didn't do anything. This one didn't do anything. My tefillin were there. And he said his tefillin weren't there when he got it. He said, not only got my car, I got it with a car wash as well for free. But my tefillin weren't there. I realized we searched the area. They searched and the guy had put it in the bin over there. And they got the tefillin back and he was able to wear them. Esav is called a chazir, a pig. Kosher animals. We have kosher animals. The most unkosher animal is a chazir. Pork. Ah, chazir, it's pig. Why? What's so bad about? Famously, we know that you need two signs to be kosher. Chew the cud and have split hooves. The pig has got the split hooves, but it doesn't chew the cud. So it's always going oink, oink, oink. I'm kosher. But really it's not. That's the Yetzer Hara. It wants to murk our mind, it wants to grey ourselves, it demands vision is not clear. We're kosher, we're half kosher. What's half kosher? What are you talking about? It's either kosher or it's not, it's black or white. There's no grey when it comes to kosher. So why is he called a pig? So that's the simple idea is because he tries to blind our eyes. But you know, a chazir is called a chazir. Why? Because chozer. It always comes back. Put it there, it comes back to the trap, comes there, come back, it's coming back for more food, and oink, 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 and it's moving around. Doesn't, chozer. But if you take the pig, and you blindfold it, lo yodeh, it doesn't know where to come back to, it's got no clue. It gets a bit lost. He tries once, doesn't, messes up. Am Yisrael, we're not chazir. You know what happens when we get blinded? It's this. We take our hands and we put it over our eyes every single day. Says Rav Chaim Pilaji, why do we cover our eyes for the Shema? Because we're saying, no matter how dark it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how blind we are, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hashem is in control. And I'm going to fight and I'm going to be there and I'm going to continue. I'm going to strengthen. I'm going to take this darkness and I'm going to make it into light. That's what we do every single day. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's a story in Japan. The Japanese, they like fresh fish. Fresh fish. So you know, over the years, when we were younger, we learned about geography and the Japanese were overfishing the place. So they overfished their waters that were nearby. So it led to a shortage and the fish moved further and further away. They moved further away. So the Japanese had to get bigger ships that could go further and do the fishing there. So far, it's true. They brought it back. But when they brought it back, the fish were not as fresh as obviously being close. The Japanese liked real fresh fish. You take it out, you eat it straight away. Fresh fish is much more tastier. But now, it wasn't so tasty. So far, this is what is true. Then you have what is not so true, but the idea is fantastic. So they say, so in order to bring them back, it took a long time. But why wasn't it so tasty? It wasn't so tasty because the fish that they were bringing back, they would bring them all back within the water for a while, like in a big, you know, incubator, were not being chased. And because they weren't being chased, they lacked that freshness. Now, that's not been proven, but the idea is amazing. What's the idea? If you want to have freshness in our Judaism, in our lives, we know it's good to do exercise and then you feel good. The same thing when it comes to learning Torah. Connecting to Hashem makes you feel good, but also our struggles, if we overcome the struggles, we feel fulfilled. It's fulfilling when you stay up the entire night learning Torah. It's fulfilling. Wow, I did that. I achieved that. Wow. Whew. I normally sleep and I manage that. That's incredible. It's fulfilling when you keep your first Shabbat properly. It's fulfilling when you say, I've got to leave and I've got to leave work 10 minutes a bit earlier so that I can reach for Shabbat. I can bring out Shabbat a bit later. It's fulfilling when I don't touch my phone on Motzei Shabbat till Sunday morning and I say, wow, it's incredible. Wow, we had so much extra time suddenly. That's the Yaakov becoming the Yisrael, and that's who we really are. We're not the Chazir, we're not the pig with the blindfold, we get lost. When we get blindfolded, we trot on and we continue and we get that freshness. And that is really what we work on a daily basis. And that's why we have three tefillot every single day. What do I need three tefillot every single day for? It's the same tefillah, Rab. Hashem, I said to you yesterday, Ashrei. I said it in the morning. I said it in the afternoon. That's it. How many times do I want to say it? I got to say it tomorrow as well? Or how many times do I need to say it? Every day brings a new struggle. And with that new struggle, every word in our tefillah means something different. Today, Ashrei means, I'm so happy I can come and stay here. Tomorrow, Ashrei means, I had a difficult day, but Baruch Hashem, I have a place to come and pray to you. So in 2 days' time, Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha means, Baruch Hashem, I learned with my son, it was incredible, Baruch Hashem. Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha Odi Halleluch Hashem, I'm still praising you. Every day and every moment, these words have got beautiful ramifications. Bezat Hashem, we take this idea and understand and really mean Am Yisrael Chai. Mm.